can get two person to help light the candle and the incense. Yeah. Ah, come. The rest of us can stand, huh? So today is the 3rd of October, 2019. Yeah. Thursday class. Yeah, today the traffic is quite jammed. Can be said. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi Svākāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādhinādāna vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Āvesu micchācāra vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhapamādatthāna vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Then now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhaṃ kasumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokhaṃ pupaṃ milayati yatā idaṃ me kāyo tatā yati vinasa bhavaṃ ādivāse tu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. We will have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. So just relax body and mind. Then for those who already know how to meditate, the spiritual faculty already established, you just relax and maintain awareness. Then the mind will slowly, slowly settle down and become very quiet and very still. Then sati will take over. If you are not thinking, you will be mindful. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So don't try to do anything to develop awareness. The heedless thinking will be there for those who have not trained their mind, who have not developed the spiritual faculty. So for these people, they may need to use some skillful means to anchor the mind. For those who are new, you can start off with the mind sweeping method. Then after that, combine with metta or loving kindness. We can off the light. Then after that, your mind will become quiet if you do that. It is like a temporary skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking. So when you do mind sweeping method, you just feel relaxed. You don't think anymore. Then it will also train you to develop the ability to allow your mind to be at the location you want it to be. If you want it to be at the forehead, it will be at the forehead. If you want it to be at the heart, it will be at the heart. So this training is useful for people who are new. Then after that, because you just feel and relax, there is no thinking. That's why that process will make you very quiet, very peaceful. Then after you finish with the mind sweeping method, you should be quite peaceful, quite calm. And because you combine with metta, the inner peace that you develop also will have the inner well-being. So inner peace leading to inner well-being is the beginning of experiencing the byproduct of meditation. The first two byproducts is inner peace leading to inner well-being, then tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. But for those who don't have the spiritual faculty developed, they need to anchor this mind to something so that it does not think, it does not wander off and become heedless. So usually people make use of any object of meditation that they are familiar with to anchor. When you do those training, it is not the meditation, it's just to anchor your mind to develop mindfulness on that object of meditation. You shouldn't focus and concentrate, no. Just relax, maintain awareness. The moment you can develop this awareness, take for example, if your object of meditation is the breath, then you can develop anapanasati. This anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. When you are silent, aware, maintain awareness in front of your breathing. When you can maintain awareness in front of the breathing, you will detect the breathing. Then like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware, means that breath and the awareness or the sati or the silent mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. Then just follow it. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. If you are patient, it will stabilize. Then when it stabilizes, you will experience a type of calmness, quietness of mind. So if it's for the first time, you will feel good because it is a state of mind that is very calm, very peaceful. The Buddha called it piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Or sometimes it's very intense. They call it spiritual rapture. It's like your mind rapture into a very nice feeling, a very nice state. You feel good. Then you continue to relax and maintain mindfulness on the in and out breath. The refinement of piti will bring forth the experience of sukhang, blissfulness of mind. Your mind becomes very blissful. Then you continue to relax into it, silent everything, and maintain the anapanasati training. Then this experience will bring forth the ability of the mind that is in sati to become very quiet and very peaceful. Your peace, your calmness become more and more refined. Then your breathing also will start to become very subtle, until finally you hardly breathe. It's like there is no more breathing. So during this stage, don't try to do anything. Just stay with the awareness. Maintain awareness. If you can do that, the mind will enter sati. When the mind enters sati, the subtle breathing all will come back. It's perceivable again. You can follow it again. It's like there is no breathing, but the more refined sati that you have developed when your mind enters sati can detect them. And they are like clear to you again. So this is the training. Until this mind becomes so quiet, so still, until there is no movement. When there is no movement, that is your true mind. That is your tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So use that mind to develop understanding, or to meditate. To meditate is not to do anything, it's just to be in that state of awareness. Let the silent awareness develop the understanding itself. Because it is aware, any activity of mind, any movement through the senses, any arising of consciousness, any movement of sankhara activity, you will be able to be aware. And you will start to understand clearly how you function as a human being. How the form and mind arise and pass away following the dependent origination. Then you will start to witness all the essential Dhamma within your form and mind. You can see clearly the dwelling, the five spiritual faculties, or the five mental hindrances if they are still there. Then when there is this stirring of mind, the evil roots, you will see them too. Then later on you will experience good mind state, enlightenment factors and all those things. So all this can come about. So this is what the Buddha meant by developing the understanding through meditation. So I'll allow you to develop the training. Then I will set the alarm. When the half an hour is up, you will trigger off. Then I will ring the bell. When you hear the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Thank you. page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devatha Saddhammam Munira Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Ahuneyo, pahuneyo,
dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's be respect to Paja. Batang Paja me. Damang Paja me. Sanghang Paja me. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Then maintain some of our attention. Then we will continue from where we stopped, I think. So lesson 75, huh? Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Today I will start from page 13. Huh? So page 13 is about this Sing Wei Kenpen. Huh? How you develop the meditation, you have to start from basic understanding of mind. Otherwise, you cannot develop the meditation. Hmm. So this one is about a Zen story. Yeah? It's about Bodhidharma. Hmm. Okay, page 13, somewhere in the middle, second paragraph. In this Bodhidharma series, towards the end, it was very interesting. At first, the emperor invited Bodhidharma. And so Bodhidharma came to China. In the early years of China's civilization, they had expected the Dhamma master or ambassador from India to be very famous, to come with dignitaries and large followings. But when they saw Bodhidharma came alone, without any follower, without any grand entourage, the abbot and all those temple monks that were instructed by the emperor to receive him looked down upon him. They had some misunderstanding, but Bodhidharma was not affected. Actually, the most prominent thing was he was walking without a shoe. That's why they couldn't understand. Huh? How can a famous Dhamma master from India be so simple and without any air at all? So the Chinese culture is so different. They expected something else. But this one is a Zen master, Dhamma teacher, Dhamma master. So the quality is different. That's why they couldn't understand. Then one day, they decided to have a 3-day and 3-night session of silent sitting meditation. So this is the typical Zen practice. Eh? The abbot and 3 of his senior monks went in. Bodhidharma was around, so he also went in. They make this ruling. They were supposed to cultivate this silent meditation, so nobody should speak. Whoever spoke should be disqualified and had to get out of the meditation hall or area. So what happened was they meditated for a while until middle of the night. Then there were very severe wind movement, howling sound and rain. Suddenly, the window started to move. So as we all understand, Chinese usually had the fear during the night. So with the wind howling and the window's movement, one of the monks developed fear and spoke, What are those sounds? Then he also said, and oh, the oil lamp's light is gone. Then the other monk laughed and said, you are not supposed to talk, so you break the rule. The other monk said, I'm the only one that didn't talk. Then the abbot say, you all broke the rules. So everybody broke the rule except Bodhidharma, because only Bodhidharma didn't say anything. Then there was this glassware where they use to cover the Chinese teacup. He used the glassware to make some grinding sound on the table. Means he grind it against the table. Yeah? Then when they heard him doing that, they asked Bodhidharma, what are you doing? This part is very interesting. Yeah? Give me a minute. You should listen to this attentively. Yeah? They asked Bodhidharma, what are you doing? Then Bodhidharma asked back, what are you doing? Can you understand? Yeah? Of course, they want to know why Bodhidharma used the glassware to grind against the table. Then Bodhidharma actually gives them a hint, asks them back, what are you doing? They are supposed to be meditating, but they are doing something else which is totally not related to meditating, that they don't understand what is meditation. When Bodhidharma asked them back, what are they doing? They then answer, we are sitting in silent Zen meditation to realize Buddhahood. Such a noble answer. Yeah. Then he then replied, Bodhidharma, Miss Bodhidharma, he said, I am polishing the glassware to make it into a mirror. Then this monk all laugh at him. We are saying, you must be crazy. This is a glassware. How can it become a mirror? Then Bodhidharma replied, if polishing the glassware cannot make it into a mirror, then how can sitting in Zen without understanding make you a Buddha? You understand? Yeah? He really cornered them. No? So knowing very well that that glassware cannot turn into a mirror, he's trying to let them understand that you are doing foolish thing. It's just like grinding the glassware against the table, knowing very well that it won't become a mirror, then why are you wasting your time? So in the same manner, Bodhidharma told them, you think by sitting the way you sit without understanding you can become the Buddha? There is no way. So after he said that, he told them, what I am trying to do is to give you an analogy so that you all can understand. If what I am doing with this glassware is impossible to accomplish, meaning it is foolish to do, but I see you all doing the same foolish thing while sitting in Zen without understanding. That's the reason why I always advise you all to meditate with what? With understanding. It means you must understand what are you doing in the name of meditation. A lot of people do meditation without understanding. They thought all the noting, following the instruction to do certain thing, especially methods and technique. They thought by doing that, they are doing meditation. If they don't do that, they are not meditating. But the real meaning of meditation is the opposite. You are not supposed to arise the thought to meditate. You're supposed to maintain awareness, because thought-based meditation cannot awaken to the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So how can you use thought and trigger off the thinking, the verbalization, the chattering? By doing so, you cannot realize the true mind. You cannot understand what is going on. So, to meditate is to silence your mind, to be aware. Aware of what? Aware of the truth, the reality. Aware of what is going on within life, within your form and mind, within nature. It is through this awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that you can awaken. So this part must be understood. Yeah. And the other thing is about the mind. I will read on, then you understand. They cannot understand him. Then Brother Teo say, you all must listen to this, and you will learn a lot. They then ask Bodhidharma, how then can we realize Buddha? Bodhidharma replied, one must start by understanding that the Buddha is the embodiment of his great perfection of wisdom and virtue, and not in his posture and movement, like how he sit, how he walk, and how he meditate. The Buddha has no fixed posture, and Zen is not just about sitting in silence. Do you think by sitting this way without making any noise, it can make you enlightened? He said enlightenment is not about the form Dhamma, not about sitting, not about not talking, and all those gullible so-called Zen practices, based at the form level. That's why we call it the form Dhamma. Enlightenment is an understanding, a wisdom to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And that the self-nature or true nature is to be awakened to via the direct seeing with the silent mind. You all only know you have to sit in meditation, but you all don't understand why you sit and how to meditate. That is where the failure is. Do you understand? Yeah? Can follow that? Can you all follow? Good. So this part is very useful, very important. I repeat this last sentence. You all only know, you all only know you have to sit in meditation. That's what the monk do. But you all don't understand why you sit and how to meditate. So how can you realize the truth and awaken to the way? All the monks were stunned by his reply. Do you know what they asked him back? They asked him, what do you mean? Everybody sit. If you don't sit in Zen, then how can we awaken to the way? True or not? Everywhere you go in the temple, you see people sitting there. In the Buddha's time also, they sit in there. But do you know how they sit and why they sit? That's why there is a big difference. You think the Buddha sit like that, doesn't talk, you also sit like that, doesn't talk, you can become the Buddha. No, the Buddha is an embodiment of his perfection, the wisdom and virtue, not his way of sitting and walking. The understanding part is missing. So after he said that, Bodhidharma replied. Bodhidharma told the monk, you must start from basic. So these words are very important. Start from basic. What does it mean? Because this abbot and all the monks, they thought they have been very senior in their training. Start from basic means what? He thought start from like kindergarten, no? For noble truth, all those things. So they ask, do you know what the monk response were? The monk thought it means to start as a samanera, doing all those basic preliminary practices. So they asked Bodhidharma, what do you mean by starting from basic? We are all senior monks. We have already gone through all those preliminary training and practices. That is why finally we only need to sit. Logical, yeah. You talk to somebody who don't understand meditation, you say, yeah, everybody sit. That's why you also sit. Everybody not, you also not. Especially those doing rising falling. If you don't understand why you do that, then you are being gullible. That is why we only need to sit. Then Bodhidharma replied, you have to start from basic, meaning, this part you have to listen carefully, meaning start from the mind, or sing wei ken pen. That's why it's written here in red. Last time Ng B wrote it. And you must understand what this mind is all about. the two aspects so that you can understand clearly who you are and what you are. You can't even understand that you have a self nature. Listen, self nature. And everything arises from that self nature via creation by the mundane mind, which is dependent, originating, and conditioned arising causal phenomena. Then you are being superficial in your cultivation, and you are wasting your time. Can you follow? This part is very important. If you still cannot understand, you better raise your hand and I will explain it in more detail. Can understand this part now? You have to start from basic. Xing wei gen pen means you have to understand the mind. The two aspects. What are the two aspects? I better write it on the whiteboard. What are the two aspects of mind? First aspect is what? Very good. You have a mundane mind. Then the other one? Supramundane or true mind. Mundane mind. Then you have the supramundane. True mind. This one, sometimes they also call it the self nature. Your nature within. So this one, sometimes they call it the self nature. Or your true nature. And some people call it the Buddha nature. These two aspects of mind is very important. The reason why people cannot meditate is because they only know the first aspect. Because since birth until now, most people, they are only familiar with one mind, the thought, the thinking mind. So this mundane mind is basically your thinking mind. Thinking mind. And this thinking mind is dependent originating, condition arising. Without condition, it cannot arise. It can only arise dependent on condition. That's the reason why when you come to realize your self nature or true mind or through nature, through the meditation, then you realize this one is different, beyond thought, beyond mind. This is just a nature within each and every living being, not only human being. But you need to silence your mundane mind. When this one sees, the mundane mind sees, or didn't arise, then you can realize your true mind, your true nature. Can you understand? Without thought, you are already aware. This is basically the awareness nature within. It's just aware. It is not a being. It is a nature. It cannot come out and live life. Understand? It is not you. Because it's not a being. But this is the one that can awaken, that can understand truth, that can realize the enlightenment. This is the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why from this self nature, everything arises. From here, the mundane mind arises. In the meditation, you will see it. You remember the Zen analogy, you know, of the host and the guest. You heard of this before, yeah? H-O-S-T. Host and the guest. spelling wrong. SD. How many of you have not heard of this analogy? This is a very good analogy. You go to the hotel. Yeah? What do you do? If let's say you are the owner, you are the host, right? Then the guests are the people who come and stay in your hotel, right? But do you know your mind operate like a hotel? But the guests, they never stay overnight. Sometimes, of course, you got people who come and stay for 1 hour, 2 hours. But your mind, the guests come in a split second, they are gone. The host is always there, true or not? So this is your true mind. The guest of the hotel is what? You got your six sense door in there. The sense data that come in there is the guest. That upon contact, a lot of things happen. So the guest can come in and register, stay for a while or whatever. But the mind, because it moves so fast, sometimes split second they are gone. They hardly stay overnight. But they are very busy. Non-stop coming and going. So this analogy is very good. The host is always there. So you must realize that you are the host. Understand? Your nature. Yeah? When I say you, I don't mean a being. It's your nature. When you have this true nature or self-nature, this is the one that is aware. Aware of all the guests that come in. If you want to get them to register, you want to choose your guest, you can. But if you don't have that understanding that you are the guest, then what happened to your hotel? You got played out by all the guests, understand or not? They keep on coming in and delude you, complain to you, tell you this, tell you that. Then you go and worry about the problem. You understand? When they check in, they say, how come the bed all not ready? How come no hot water? How come no Wi-Fi? You complain. So when you complain, you don't know that you are the host. You employ people to do all those things. Then you become involved. So sense door consciousness and sense door experiences is in a way quite similar. When you don't understand, when the sense data come in upon contact, you don't even know what is happening. The dependent origination, all you cannot see. You straight away get entangled, deluded by it. So this one is a very good analogy. The Zen, they really use this as an analogy. So realize the host. Be aware of what the guest is doing. So when you do that, you are meditating. Means you develop understanding of who you are, what you are. You are this true nature, which is just aware. That's it. Finish. But it's not a being. It's not a self. That's why this one also anatta. But this one can awaken, can understand, because it is silent. When you are aware, you are silent, without thought. When you are aware, you can see what is happening. When you are lost in thought, heedlessly thinking, preoccupied with what you think and worry, you never get to understand what is going on. That's why meditation is to realize the true mind to be aware. That's why the silent mind has to be aware. So this is actually your meditative mind. Silent mind. Meditative mind. Then this mundane mind, before the enlightenment, before the awakening, this one is deluded. Because it is deluded, it creates a lot of wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought process. So this is where the Buddha's teaching come in. He said, this mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So this mind, you need to have wisdom to use it. But the user of this mundane mind is very important. If you don't have the wisdom, you use it, it will become delusion. That's the reason why Dhammapada verse 1 and verse 2 is very clear. He said, if you were to act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, a deluded mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, means without wisdom, suffering will follow you. Just like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. So that one becomes very obvious. But if you are heedful, if you see the importance of having wisdom to use this mind, then you will train your mind, develop the awareness, the understanding. Then from there, you will know how to act with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. Then from there, you act. You act with wisdom, with understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. So when you act with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, means without delusion, without ignorance, you act with understanding, free of the evil root. That happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So when you understand this, this is the beginning of cultivation. The moment you understand this mundane mind, you will know how to cultivate. Because all good and bad come from this mind. So you need to develop the understanding why the Buddha's advice is such. But it comes from this understanding. He said we need to train this mind. Make it heedful, make it aware. Then, after that, what do you do with this mind? When it's heedful, it can see clearly. When it's mindful, it can see clearly what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why the Buddha said you have to avoid all evil. And how do you avoid? The Buddha prescribed the 5 precepts. Because the moment you violate the precept, they constitute major evil. Take for example the 1st precept. Panadipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhi yami. What does it mean? We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Training rule means we use mindfulness and awareness to be aware so that we don't violate this precept. We train ourselves to be mindful, to be heedful, so that we don't violate this precept. Then we inquire. Who kill? Who harm? What type of people do that? Either you are very angry, very violent, very selfish, or you are hell or deluded. Understand? That's why the three evil roots are there. They constitute major evil. That's why you have to keep that precept. It is from there that the Buddha's advice come to be. This mundane mind, you must give it the right understanding, train it, so that it won't create negative karma, major evil. That's why precept is number one, sila. Without precept, your life will be entangled, and you cannot meditate successfully, because the karmic obstruction, karmic negativity, the mental hindrance, they will come and haunt you. The moment you keep your precept, you are in line. You will have the condition to have good mind state, good karmic support to develop the meditation. That's why without sila, samadhi cannot take root. There is a brown book that we did the transcript. It's based on a talk in Klang. I think house done by Nancy and Xia. Nancy did the transcript. The draft transcript. Essential Dhamma, the brown book. Essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha is very clearly written there. And that book is very good. It teaches you about mindfulness, everything. And it explains to you all these things. The essential Dhamma. So with this understanding, now I go back to the book. You will understand very easily. We are at page 17 or 16. 16. Okay, I think the first few lines there. The two aspects of mind. So you can understand, so that you can understand clearly who are you and what are you. This one I explained already. You have a true nature, which is not dependent originating. That's why that is not the five aggregate of form and mind. Whereas the mundane mind is the five aggregate of form and mind. And that aspect is what the living being is all about, the two aspects. So the five aggregate also have two aspects. So that five aggregate, that is dependent originating. That is subject to karma. That one exists. It's a being, but it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. That's why that one is impermanent, non-self, not you. But it exists. Can you follow? That one is the most important understanding. That's the reason why the Buddha's teaching is so unique. It is actually very simple when you understand. But the problem is, because there are so many aspects to it. When he said the form and mind is not you, that one make a lot of people confused. But if you meditate, when you come to understand, you will realize that that one is really not you, the five aggregate. Because they are subject to change, impermanent. You attach, cling, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it is non-self, empty, not what you think, not so real. So I read on, then you understand. If you can't even understand that you have a self nature and everything arises from the self nature via creation by the mundane mind, which is dependent originating and condition arising, then you are being superficial in your cultivation and you are wasting your time. Whether wholesome or unwholesome, evil or non-evil, etc., they all arise from there. This is basic understanding. This basic understanding of the self-nature and the mundane mind is also the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. Where mind arises, everything arises. Hence, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, etc., they all arise via the mundane mind's creation. And Buddha Dhamma say, if this basic teaching also you don't understand, then how can you meditate? Do you follow? This basic understanding teaches you that your mind creates duality of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. And that is why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things, and they all, including the mundane mind, arise from the self nature. And the mundane mind is a source of good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. If this understanding, which they call Kenpen or basic understanding, you also don't have, then you are being superficial in your cultivation and you are all wasting your time. You can go and sit for umpteen years, yet you can never awaken. That's why you have to understand that you have a nature which is independent of thought. Thought is dependent originating, condition arising, and from it, everything comes to be. This is basic understanding, and that is the mundane mind. There is the reason why Bodhidharma's teaching and Huining's teaching are the same. Both take you directly to the true mind. Do you understand? Then from there, you can meditate and everything will become easy. So knowing the two aspects of mind, you will not waste time on the mundane mind. Do you understand? Well, this one is thought-based. Beyond, cannot give you a realization that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you use this instrument, you are dead. You are being superficial. This one, you need to understand it differently. To live life, you need to use this one. And the user of the mundane mind must develop wisdom. To develop wisdom, you must meditate using your true mind. When you meditate using your true mind, you will awaken. Then when the wisdom is connected, this mundane mind becomes wise. That's why it can live life. It will not suffer anymore. This is basic understanding. So that you are not confused. The moment you start using your mundane mind to cultivate means you don't understand meditation. This one is for you to live life. Without wisdom, how can you use this? You remember I give you the analogy? The mundane mind is like money, understand? No? Neither good or bad. So thought, which is the mundane mind, is neither wholesome or unwholesome. Whether it's wholesome or unwholesome depends on the user, like money. If the user has wisdom, then money becomes wholesome. Money becomes beneficial. But if the user is deluded without understanding, without wisdom, then thought becomes unwholesome. Deluded. Like money. Money becomes evil. So understanding this, that's why Bodhidharma and Huining, their meditation is very simple. Silence your mind and go direct to the true mind. When you do this, that's why my meditation instruction to you is very simple. Develop the spiritual faculty. Follow the Buddha's advice. When the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance is to be, you are in the meditative state straight away. That's why you just relax, silent, maintain awareness, you will realize the true mind. And this is the fastest. No need method, no need technique. No need to do anything. So that you don't disturb the silent within, the true mind within. Otherwise, you keep on creating thought. Through what? Through being actively acting as a meditator, meditating. And who is the meditator? Huh? Who is the meditator? The thought, isn't it? So when the thought is actively meditating with what? Method, technique, and concept, this one is not silent anymore. You are no longer aware. So how can you be aware of the reality, of truth? How can you see things as they are? You are doing things that are not beneficial. That's why if you do that, you are wasting your time. Your cultivation is being superficial. Means you didn't really go into the understanding part yet. So this aspect of the understanding of meditation is very important. When you understand this, you will know how to move. You will know how to develop the training. The ability to realize the silent mind, the true mind, is very important. When you can do that, that is the beginning of meditation. Before you can have the ability to be aware, you cannot meditate. What are you going to meditate with? The thought? It will never support you. It will fail you. The thought only is needed when you need to live life. But to live life, you need to have understanding, wisdom, so that this mundane mind, which is the thought, is not deluded. So you cannot do the opposite. Understand? Before the wisdom is there, you try to use thought. That's why a lot of people say, I'm practicing right thought. Who is practicing? The one not enlightened is trying to practice right thought. That is right thought according to him. Understand? Well, without wisdom, whatever you do is never the right thought. Because with delusion, the self is there, the egoic mind is there, the Sakkaya Ditti is there, the evil roots will be there. So you need to start with the meditation, the training. That's why to meditate, the Buddha says, start with sila, so that you avoid all evil. You cultivate wholesomeness, following Noble Eightfold Path. So that there is condition for you to develop samadhi, the trained mind, to awaken. That's why the advice of the Buddha comes in three steps. Avoid all evil. Cultivate wholesomeness. Means following Noble Eightfold Path. When you follow Noble Eightfold Path, means you got right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. When you have right thought, right speech, right action, it means you are cultivating wholesomeness. True or not? Following right view without delusion. And you can do that, you are avoiding all evil. Because people with Noble Eightfold Path don't have evil. Because they have right view. That's why you must develop right view. The initial right view or initial wisdom is born of listening to the Dhamma and inquiry followed by reflection and contemplation. But that one need to be done with a relatively quiet mind, a creative mind that doesn't heedlessly think or lost in thought. It must be in a proper quiet state. Means relatively quiet, calm, peaceful. When you have sadha virya, your mind is very calm, very composed. You have faith. Then the virya drives you. Then you cultivate. Then you constantly listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, then reflect, contemplate to stabilize it. The initial wisdom will come. And when the initial wisdom comes, whatever you do in the formal meditation to train your mind to realize the true mind, that is how your meditation will progress. Because you develop the training until your mind enters sati. But this mind, when you do it in the formal meditation, is quite easy to develop all those silent mind, the mind state. But when you come out to live life, basically it's not easy. Unless your mind enters sati and you know all this, there is no chance at all. Because when you are out into the life itself or back to society, your senses, they are fully engaged. If you don't have a stable mindfulness with the initial wisdom, you cannot deal with life. Well, every moment of sense experience, you will react and stir your mind. True or not? Not until your initial wisdom is there, until you can have the initial basic wisdom to see things as they are, to understand that the world is the world, people is just the way they are. Deluded being do deluded thing. Emotional people do emotional thing. Greedy people do greedy thing. So you can accept each and every of these being for the way they are. So you can accept them for what they are. Then when it comes to other things not involving living beings or human beings, then you have to understand condition like that, things will be like that. That is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions mainly karma. Because all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you understand this, you can accept the reality of the moment. Whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. Mainly connected to karma. That's how you can accept. You will not blame, you will not react, you will not get angry. You can come to terms with the reality at peace. Then with a quiet mind, clarity of mind. Because you don't react, you don't stir, you don't create negativity of mind state. Without delusion, you become quiet, peaceful, aware. So that clarity allows you to contemplate, reflect, and ask yourself, what happened? How can I resolve this amicably so that I can move on with my life? So I can get all this resolved amicably so that nobody suffer. This is how you act. Act with understanding, wisdom. And to do that, you have to follow Noble Eightfold Path. Because Noble Eightfold Path is the path that lead to all, the ending of all suffering. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Noble Eightfold Path is the right action. You act according to Noble Eightfold Path. You act with right view leading to all the right understanding. And that's how you cultivate. Then that time, with that Noble Eightfold Path understanding, you will know how to use the mundane mind. At that time, you can use thought. No problem. But when you use thought, you must have right view to arise the right thought. Then this right thought will condition your speech and action. Well, if your thought is evil, you cannot have right speech and right action. Do you follow? Without right view, there is no right thought. True or not? And without right thought, there is no right speech, no right action, and no right livelihood. Means the whole Noble Eightfold Path collapse. That's why the Buddha put samadhi, right view, as number one power factor. So meditation, you have to understand this. This is basic understanding. Sing Wei Ken Pen. That's why understanding the mind is not difficult. But you must really have the faith and then go into it and find out for yourself what the Buddha said. Investigate into it through your meditation. And when you realize the true mind, that is the beginning of real meditation. You become very different. Then you will know all these people last time who do all those thought-based meditation, they have been superficial. Gullible. They don't understand. That's why they cannot develop good result. No way. A lot are Dhamma knowledge. Just like that lady I sent out to share, that, what's her name already? Sia. Jackie Sia. She not bad at all. After listening to my video and the audio file, she realized I stress a lot on mindfulness. No? Hey, go and do. No? I was very surprised. No? The email that he wrote to me was the third email, I think. Then I realized what she did is very typical one. Where she is taught that way. How many of you have read that email? Huh? So few. The rest didn't read. You better go and read. That email is very good. Because I explained to her. What she did was actually quite commendable. Yeah. She said, she determined to be mindful, to be aware, and she followed. Yeah. Then he said, he tried to be like mindful of his intention. Again, you all are taught intending to eat. Intending to walk in. So he said intend. Then she described, I saw my chopstick. I saw my intention to take my chopstick. Intention to take the vegetable. Intention to put it into the mouth. Intention to open up the mouth first. Sorry, then put it into the mouth. Do you know what I advise her now? I said, what you are doing is the thing that normal people do. The more important one, the mindfulness, is not developed. It's not the intention. It's when your hand moves to take the chopstick, there is no word, just that movement. The awareness and the movement as one. Then when that thing holds, is that movement. Then when you bring it up, is this movement. Then when your eyes see and choose and select what veggie to take, is the awareness of the mental movement. That awareness is the most important. And she is not taught in that field, in that training. I say even when you open your mouth to receive the food, you should be aware of this movement. Understand? That's why you choose aware. All action, all movement in the present moment. That is sati sampajana. Not the intending to do this, intending to do. Then you miss out on the whole cultivation of sati. Sati is without word. The awareness and the movement move as one. That's it. Finished. That's why I told her, don't try to know, just do. And she add on the second part, which I think most of you also do. He said when he chewed the food, he was aware of the pleasant sensation of the food. Then later it became flat. Then he used Dhamma knowledge. This is impermanent. This is suffering when I attach. This is non-self because it come and it go. If you do like that, this is not contemplation. This is doing the opposite. Understand? What you should be doing is don't try to know. Chew mindfully with awareness. Don't allow the word and the knowledge to come in and interfere. That is your knowledge telling you. And that is not contemplation. The contemplation you can do after you realize with the mindfulness and the awareness. When you just be aware, there is no word. Then the understanding will come. Then when the understanding comes, you can link back to your knowledge. Then you will realize, this is very likely what the Buddha meant. But before you even develop the silent mind, the awareness to understand what is going on, straight away the knowledge comes in. Oh, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, duality and all those things. That's where people go wrong. So I say you have to silence your mind and just do, don't try to know. Then the understanding will come from that silent mind. It will awaken, it will realize by itself without you doing anything. Then after that, you come out of it, then you can reflect, contemplate, but with the silent mind, not with the knowledge and the thinking. Then you throw it out. What actually happened? How come just now when I was mindfully chewing, suddenly this understanding arise? This is what the direct seeing, the direct awakening is all about. Through your mindfulness, you awaken. Not through your thought and your thinking. Not through Dhamma knowledge. Always remember that. Otherwise you are being gullible. How can the thought and the knowledge give you understanding? That's why this one is memory. Rigid. This is not understanding. Understanding is when you understand, everything is understood. No more question. Where you see truth, the reality, and you awaken to it. You know how my daughter do or not? She do it different, and when she chew, then she inquire, how did I come to term it as pleasant and unpleasant? How did the idea come about? How did the concept come about? Then she trace, it's her conditioning. Understand? She's conditioned to like this type of food. That's a habitual tendency. You behave like that. But when you assume zero base from a clean slate, you chew. Do you know when you chew the rice, even plain rice without veggie, towards the end, what is it? Because that is carbohydrate. Your saliva is a enzyme. Break down the food. Sweet, I tell you. That's why the actual thing is so different. When you do it, when that thing come out, it's a totally different thing from what people tell you through knowledge. That's why a lot of things you have to develop the silent mind, the mindfulness, until it is a part of you. Then you can see a lot of things that you never see before. Your mind become very sensitive. The slightest movement inside, light and dislike, stirring or wanting to stir, is already aware. And the yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom, will straight away come and prompt you. This is attachment. This is craving. This is movement. From the pure feeling, it has arisen. Like and dislike, pleasant and Think it's just the way it is. No word, no concept. Where got like, where got dislike? It's your personal conditioning that give rise to this duality. There is a sensation, yes. But how did it become like and dislike? Pleasant and unpleasant. Then you understand, when there is condition to experience, you will experience. Then things is just the way it is. That's why you can have good mind state, pleasant mind state, no harm. As long as you understand what they are dependent originating, condition arising. So when condition is there for me to have good food, I eat. That's it. Finish. When there is no condition, there is no suffering. Nothing. You understand. When I need to drink, when I am thirsty, I will drink. I will not be subject to all the rules and the taboo. Hey, you cannot. Oh. This is craving. Oh. You must wait till you finish your whatever dharma only you can drink. Oh. Wow, like that. You follow that, I will not follow that. Because my body, I understand. When I need, there is a need, and where there is condition to have, I will drink. That's why I remember that SJBA talk, the three turning. You know who gave me the tea? You know? Ng Bi prepared the tea. Very nice tea, sadhu to you. That tea I like. Oh, no wonder. I rejoice. Where are you from, personally? Oh, it's such nice tea, warm some more. And I drank so many times, you check the video. Because when I speak 2 hours, I need to really quench the throat. Sometimes when I started, you remember, I cough. Because just now, having dinner that time, one of the food was san pei ji, fried on, very dry. I know, when I take, I already aware. But I say, now I take a little bit, I take just one small piece. Then after that, because I knew I cannot overeat. If I overeat, I have problem. So all this, you need to develop understanding. So that part, if you have not read the email, you go back and read. It will help you. That's why simple cultivation like daily mindfulness or mindfulness, if you don't have the understanding, you will do it completely wrong. That's why understanding is very important. So now I read on, it will become a lot clearer. I send it to my Kayanimita also, no? Everybody should receive. Jackie C. Today. No, I my Kayanimita. I put BCC my Kayanimita. Therefore, NBU, I scared your name is not in, the email is not in the my Kayanimita. So other people want I send, because not everybody register. Ah, you better register so that you receive. So this one, send your email to mykayamita, subscribe at yahoogroup.com. This one. You send there, Sui An is the one administrator. Then all my forward or CC copy to mykayamita, you will receive. Otherwise, it give me a lot more work to do. I need to know whose name is not there. Like today, Pamasuri say he didn't receive me, his name is not in the mic. But I send to you. Brother Tim received, right? How? Your email got problem. Okay, like I forward again. Today. Oh, yesterday. Sorry, yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Jackie, Jackie C. How to contemplate? Yesterday, yeah. 2nd October yesterday, yeah, sorry. So I re-forward to you, Pama Sri. So you receive, so no need, anybody want your request? That one very clear, That's why you all must ask. Sometimes you think you know, then you don't ask. There is no condition for me to share. That's the reason why I say don't be shy. The thought is shy. But you are not the thought, understand? Your nature actually is very different. Okay, so we continue. I just read the last sentence. This is the reason why Bodhidharma and Huining's teaching are the same. Both take you directly to the true mind, no thought. Do you understand? Then from there, you can meditate and everything will become clear. That's what meditation is. After that, the monks started to respect him. They started to listen to him. Then Bodhidharma started to teach them. Then even the abbot started to develop the real cultivation and understanding. And towards the end, just before Bodhidharma decided to go back to India, he gathered them. I can't remember how many of them. Was it 10 or 6 at that time? I really cannot remember. I think maybe 6 of them. Before Bodhidharma left for India, he called them together and sat down with them. According to that video, if I'm not wrong, there were 4 or 5 of them, become less. So he asked each and every one of them, what have they learned? Like now I ask you, what have you learned? Then Huining said, after my passing away, thanks for the correction. Amy, thanks. After my passing away, Bodhidharma said, you all should go each in different direction to teach. The Buddha also told the 5 ascetic, go different direction. You all should know what you are supposed to teach and how to teach. So I want to hear from each and every one of you what you have learned from me thus far. So one by one, they started to say something. You can go and read the sutta or watch the video. It is very interesting. The first monk said something very simple regarding non-attachment to words and concept of Dhamma. So this one is like using Dhamma, understand? So Bodhidharma said, you only learn the superficial Dhamma. You understand? He quote the Dhamma. But he didn't went in. He didn't do the real meditation. So he said, you only learn superficial Dhamma, which means like the surface, the skin, very superficial. Then the next monk said something concerning contentment, born of the direct seeing and awakening. So to this second monk, Bodhidharma said, you have received the flesh. The third monk went deeper. He talked about impermanence. Everything is unreal, including the 4 elements, space, etc., are unreal and empty, and everything is dependent originating, and that the entire 6 sense consciousness are empty and unreal. So this one really investigated, really went in. He did the Satipatthana and all those things. So after that, he talks about the unreality of the form and mind, touching on the deeper and more profound aspect of Dhamma. To this, he said, you have received my bone, or something to that effect. And there is another one. This one talks about empty nature of all things. Everything is impermanent. Everything is unreal. And everything is dependent on you. Very complete. He said, you are not bad. I don't know what analogy he used, but he said, you have received beyond the bone. So you receive quite a bit. But the last one is the best. The last one is the Huike. Huike inherited from Bodhidharma and become the second patriarch of China. The future second patriarch, whom he passed the insignia robe and arms bow to. Before he passed it to him, He asked Hui Ke, "What have you learned?" Do you know what was the response or not? Huh? What did Hui Ke say? He didn't do anything. He just pay respect. I read to you. Huh? Do you know what Hui Ke did? You all don't know what he did. He didn't do anything. He just got up and pay his respect to Bodhidharma. Then after that, everybody look around in disbelief. It is like he didn't learn anything. To those monks who don't understand. Huh? Because he can't even express it out. But the real thing is, he has realized what Bodhidharma tried to teach him. So Bodhidharma said, "That is it. That is it." You know what is the meaning or not? The truth cannot be spoken, isn't it? Do you understand? So how can you use word? You just go and pay respect means what? You have gratitude. You have understanding. That's why Bodhidharma also replied in such wise way. That is it. That is it. Suchness. Understand? No need to talk. No need to say anything. So next time I ask you to report, you come pay respect. Then you go back. But you are not Hui Ke. You are Hui Ke, my nature will know. Then I will start to you. That's why I don't imitate. So sometimes it's very interesting. Huh? That is it. Because the realization that one has learned and awakened to cannot be expressed in word. Do you understand? Whatever that can be expressed in word is just Dhamma. Understand? No? The Buddha has to teach the Dhamma using what? Words and concept. But what he has realized is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why that Dhamma is existential world. You need words. You need teaching. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, in true emptiness, there is no four noble truth. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one even get old. So all this is very, very clear. No one attain to. Because in true emptiness is the unconditioned. All this that the Buddha teach, the four noble truth, old age, sickness and death, all this pertain to the existential world, mundane world, condition arising world. In the condition arising world, yes, everything exists. Karma exists. Form and mind exist. Five aggregate exist. But it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, subject to karma. That's why the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they got four great qualities. One of them is what? Of what conduct? Of righteous conduct. Oh, sorry. Dutiful conduct. They do their duty where they know the law of karma. Just now we chant Supatipanno. So the four are of good conduct, of right conduct, means righteous conduct, good conduct. Then wise conduct. The last one is dutiful conduct. So Samichi. So all these four is very beautiful. First one is Supatipanno. Then second one? Ujupatipanno. First one is of good conduct, then of right conduct. Third one, Jnana. Nyaya Patipanno, of wise conduct. The last one is Samichi Patipanno. That one is of right, dutiful conduct. Not beautiful, dutiful. You do your duty. Whatever that can be expressed is just Dhamma, not that thing. You have received everything, he told Hui Ke. My spiritual understanding. I will pass you the robe and the insignia. That is why don't be talkative. Don't talk too much. The one who knows or understands does not speak or talk. The one who speaks or talk does not know. Don't go and copy this, People ask you, don't want to talk. Noble silence. I tell you, you think by pretending to be like that, you can become wise. Cannot. You must have that wisdom first. When this is spoken, it's meant for the real one, not for the fake one. So the one who knows or understands does not speak or talk. So I speak, I talk too much, I don't know. Because you don't understand. Well, this nature has a vow. It has its duty. It will speak, it will talk when there is condition. So you cannot apply this. But this is only applied to people who have the understanding. And when the condition is like that, they will behave like that. You remember during the Buddha's time? There were so many people went and see him, seek his advice, and ask him questions. When he receives certain type of question which he know, no point answering, what does he do? He maintain? He doesn't want to say anything. Then it's up to you to comment. We have no point. Where he realized with his wisdom, if he were to say anything, this guy with his views and conditioning is going to create karmic negativity. So it's out of love and compassion for him, that's why he remains silent. Because his view is so strong, and he is coming and asking you a question about right and wrong, you will never answer, because no point. That's why in the Dhamma class, so far luckily so good, nobody do that. Because if they want to argue, I just say it's okay, never mind, I think you are right. Right according to you, but you cannot tell him, you tell him he get more angry. So we respect you for your understanding, and hopefully you also respect me for my understanding. That's why I had the three conditions before I started to agree to come out to share. So the three conditions is very simple. No right, no wrong. That one is very important. Otherwise, you end up arguing. Then, before no right, no wrong is, I am here to share the understanding of the Dhamma so that there is no authority on you. Do you understand? It's Dhamma sharing. We share understanding. Technically, there is no such thing as I have authority over you. Means I am your teacher or your guru. No. That's why I call this group Kairamita. Means what? We are Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma. We share Dhamma. Dhamma sharing. No right, no wrong. The last condition is take whatever that is useful and beneficial, use it. That is real sharing, isn't it? Then we don't argue, isn't it? Then with that, we have good mind state, isn't it? I respect you for what you are. You respect me for what I am. Then we have really genuine sharing. That's why the three conditions is very important. Otherwise, I would have got into trouble long time ago. Because people will come and challenge you. Do you understand? And my advice to Kayamita, you can ask them all. Don't quote me unless you understand what I say. If you quote me, you put me into trouble. Do you know how it can happen? You will go and argue with people. Hey, no, brother Teo teach like that. No, not what you say. Kau like that. I kena like man. Because you don't understand what I mean. Then you go and tell them all the things that I taught you on the whiteboard. Perception of form is consciousness, very non-perception is wisdom. The flow you say, you chase it. Then you say, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. That flow get laggy angry. So a lot of things, they don't understand. So please, keep it to yourself. When they are ready, different. When you understand, different. You can share, you can teach. Then sometimes you tell them, mind is matter. Like that day I asked Dr. Jayanta. I tell you, they cannot accept this type of thing. Then don't try to go and explain E equals MC square. You cannot. He say, you really mong cha cha. So all this is unless they are willing to listen, unless they can have the affinity and the condition to understand. Otherwise, never mind, let things be. If they want to be right, let them be right. Because the purpose of sharing is not to argue, not to have right or wrong. Where duality will create conflict, misunderstanding, argument, no point. Most important is to assimilate the truth, to share, then respect them for what they are, and they respect you for what you are. So no right, no wrong. Whatever you cannot understand, have an open mind. That it will prevent you from being obstructed through karmic obstruction. If you don't have an open mind, it's very dangerous. Your views, your opinion tends to create karmic negativity without you knowing. Sometimes before we have that understanding, we have to really have an open mind. Not until we understand. Sometimes people with great wisdom and profound wisdom, the way they speak is so different. Yeah. But if you're already on the path, you don't worry. Because whatever truth they speak, if it's the truth, you will understand. But you may not comprehend what he say initially. But your nature will know, this person, this cultivator is very good. He is beyond you. Otherwise, he cannot understand all this. He cannot explain it in such beautiful words. Yeah. And my nature know. When I meet somebody who has better understanding than me, I will know. Yeah. Like the year 1989, actually, I don't need to meet anybody already. But when my last teacher come or my last guy come, the way he speak to me and share with me, I knew he has a lot of understanding that I don't have. That's why I learned from him. But his one is mainly the gateway. After that, the real Dhamma, I don't really need him. Okay, we move on. Page 19, second paragraph. The moment he kneel in front of Bodhidharma for 3 days and 3 nights to request for the Dhamma, Huike already had the resolve. Do you all know who this Huike is? Yes, he was the one who chopped off one of his own hand that had karmic problem. But before that, do you know who he was? If I'm not wrong, he was the one that was very violent. Not the spelling is wrong, is it? Correct or not the spelling? Correct, violent, and hot temper. Do you remember him? He whacked 2 of the tooth out of Bodhidharma's mouth. This is a guy who, he almost died because the king of hell, Yama, wanted to see him. Then he asked, what have I done wrong? And he was told, you have done terrible wrong. You whacked that guy. According to King Yama, there is a fully enlightened being around, but you are teaching false teaching, and you are so violent, he said. Then he answered, cannot be. Tell me, who is the one? So they told him, the one you whack. Then he asked for permission, give me some time. I will come back to you, because I need to see him first. That's why he chased after Bodhidharma and finally caught up with him. This one I don't know how true, because I read it from Xuanhua's commentary, I remember. Finally, he managed to become Bodhidharma's disciple and receive the second patriarchate from him. After that, he was given the name Huike, meaning able wisdom. So you look at the way the Zen series of stories from Bodhidharma onward to the 6th Patriarch, all beautifully described in the sutta. When Huike received the insignia, the rope and the bow, Bodhidharma told him that this rope and bow should stop at the 6th Patriarch. Just now, I have related this to all of you already. According to Bodhidharma, by then, 200 years later, the Dhamma, the Mahayana teaching, would have flourished after the appearance of the 6 Patriarchs' teaching. So there is no need to pass them on, after which all subsequent patriarchship would not have the rope and the insignia. We visited most of the 6 Patriarchs' way place last year. That year was very beautiful when we went to that place called what again? Guangzhou. Then we visited his way place, birthplace, everything. the six patriarch trip. We visited most of the six patriarchs way place last year. That was that year's spiritual trip. Was most beautiful, and it was like meant to be. So the book was written 2108. So 1-7 we went. 1-7 we went. Means before our this year's trip. Oh no, 2 years ago. This year trip, Fanjing San also very good. Guiyang, very, very beautiful. You look at the video, you will know. Then there is also this, before this year, last year, where did we go? Ah, yeah, Jizhou San, also very nice trip. That one also very beautiful. That one also have a lot of very meaningful happenings. And there were many things that happened. All the spiritual trip is like meant to be. Oh, okay, I read on, then maybe those who didn't go, they will understand more. We went to his birthplace and all the other places he visited. One of which was where he spent his 16 years of hiding among the hunters and all those related stories. When he finally came out, he was able to have the condition to be recognized and was then put in charge of that temple. What was the name of the temple? The abbot saw him because of the flag and the wind incident. Then they invited him to teach. Then from there on, he was given the position to actually transmit the true Dhamma. The monastery was very famous. I forgot his name already. What was his name? Ah, yes, somebody mentioned, Kuo En Si. So that place was beautiful. We were there too. Do you remember? We went in there, and the first hall we visited was Fa Hai and Shen Hui. Yeah. So these two are the first and the youngest disciple. Shen Hui is the youngest. Fa Hai is the most senior. Shen Hui is the youngest disciple. Fa Hai is the chief disciple. Then there was a drum, like the Tibetan one, where rotate one, which is very big, where we turn it around. But whatever it is, all these were meant to be, all these were very beautiful, and we managed to visit almost all the sacred places. And we even managed to meet up with some very good monks, too. Then one of those monks even took us to the place where the relics was. He helped lead us to chant, like what we all did, Rao Fo. As we mindfully walked around the relics, he took us to do the Rao Fo 3 rounds. The monk was very good, so the conditions were very beautiful. That was why it was like meant to be. The trip was very wholesome and very beautiful. So all these are conditions to let you understand. I just want to repeat this part so that you all may recall that beautiful spiritual trip. Apart from rejoicing, the basic understanding for cultivation must be there too. I remember that trip, everywhere we go, the pillar, most of the places have the three hallmarks of healing. Then there were a lot of beautiful saying by six patriarchs. Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu, no thought, no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living beings, no mark of life or Dhamma. Then finally, no dwelling. I read on. He said, if this basic understanding also you don't have, then you are wasting your time. Really, instead of talking about thought-based meditation and all those things, because this self-nature, you have to really understand. Each and every living being has it, because all beings are connected to this self-nature. From here, everything arises. Then the basic teaching is as per Sakyamuni's proclamation. Okay, I better explain this part. This part is not easy to understand. You see, this self nature, each and every living being has. But you must come with a form and mind, karmically conditioned out. Only within this form and mind, you can have the gateway to that nature. Without the form and mind, that nature is not there. That's why to come to the existential world, you need a karmic nature to condition a form and mind. That's why that form and mind is called a karmically conditioned form and mind. So, this so-called human being, so this is the human being, five aggregate of form and mind. First aspect. Then the thought, the mundane mind is the second aspect. So this one is your consciousness trapped inside. Consciousness trapped inside. And this one is the physical body. So to come to this existential world, you need this form and mind. Five aggregates of form and mind. So this is basically a vehicle and a tool for you to come. So this one is basically a vehicle and a tool for you to come. So this one is karmically conditioned. Condition. Vehicle, because the human being, the physical body, is like the car that take you around there. You can follow. So this one, if you want to go somewhere, this form, physical body, have to take you around. It has to move. So this is your vehicle, the physical body. Yeah? So this is the vehicle, physical body. Then the mind, or the consciousness, this is the tool. You use this to live life, you understand? This is a tool to live life, to experience life, to meditate, to cultivate, to do whatever that you need to do. So with this vehicle and tool, karmically conditioned form and mind, then within this, there's a gateway to your nature. The self nature is there. That's why every living being that has a form and mind that come, there is a gateway back to your self nature, to your original nature, Penlaitamianmu. Or they call it the true nature, the oneness nature, or the Buddha nature. So this part is very important. And that nature cannot come out and live life, always remember that. Because it cannot come out. It is not a being. It is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. That's why that nature also anatta. Sabbe dhamma anatta. Whether it's the condition or the unconditioned, it's still anatta. Non-self. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. But that nature is just aware. And that nature can awaken, can develop the wisdom and the understanding, the cultivation, the perfection. So that part is the difficult part to comprehend. Because human being cannot realize that. A lot of meditators, they cannot understand that. They think there must be a meditator who meditate until one day enlightened. But they don't know what enlightenment is. And all the while they use thought to meditate. which is very natural for most people. We're the only instrument they understand is thought. So how can you teach them to meditate on something that is not within their vocabulary? Can you follow? It's not something that they have come to understand, not thought also. It's mentioned in the scripture, the holy book, but not explained. So you tend to listen to a lot of words last time. Your Buddha nature, your true nature, your whatever nature, but you don't know what they are. You only heard about the words. So now, through this sharing, you understand. And they are very, very easy to understand. The moment you can realize it in your meditation. So understanding will give rise to condition for you to meditate correctly to realize that silent mind, that true mind. That one is the most important. When you realize that, then you know the form and mind is not you. The thought is not you. Because you can see in the meditation, the thought is dependent originating. That one cannot do anything. Just aware. No word, nothing. Even the word aware also cannot be used. You cannot describe it. It's just that nature. And you cannot ask that nature to come out. And you cannot say, hey, that nature originally was already awakened. No. The form and mind has to realize that, then use that to understand, to awaken. Then that wisdom only come in. So that wisdom part, do you still need me to explain again? Yes. Okay. Any blue color? Blue color, yes. You see, oh, you're so fast. So this wisdom part, when you are born into this world, it is not there. Even Sakyamuni, before, underneath the Bodhi tree, when he connect, this wisdom is not there yet. But he inherit his past karma, his past understanding. But the spiritual understanding, spiritual nature, he will only inherit when he was underneath the Bodhi tree, when he connect to his true nature. When he realized his gateway, then he inherit from the spiritual nature. Then after that, this wisdom come out. This wisdom, you can term it as Sambhogayakaya. You understand? The spiritual understanding. So this part is spiritual understanding. Sambhogayakaya. Spiritual understanding. This one you can only inherit from your spiritual nature. This wisdom initially was not there. But the moment you awaken through meditating from the true mind, the true nature, or the self nature, when you awaken, this wisdom comes about. That you have cultivated before from the past, you will also inherit all your past cultivation. Very fast, you will inherit. And when you inherit, this past cultivation is your spiritual nature that you have perfected. You can say this is your Sambhogayakaya. Everyone who has gone that way, the Bodhisattva way, will have that. But to what extent depends on your cultivation. So this wisdom, the moment it arrives, it will never disappear. It will follow this form and mind. But this form and mind realizes it, awakens to it. Then immediately the wisdom is there. This form and mind no longer deluded. Do you understand? Because of this wisdom. You can say this fellow is enlightened. The five aggregate of form and mind. But this is not you, understand? But this one is dependent originating. What are the three conditions that supported is arising? What are they? the karmic force. Understand? Then, second one, the rebirth consciousness. Understand or not? The consciousness inside. Then the third one is the physical body from your parent. You understand? So these three, when it come together, it will animate into a human being or a living being. Then from the simple sperm and ovum, you subdivide until you don't know how many weeks when the heart, the organ is formed, then only the heartbeat come in. The karmic force come in. Yeah. Then from then onward, this one become a fully developed form and mind, yeah, with all the senses intact, but it's still in the womb until it's born. Yeah. So this part is what I need to share with you all. Eh? Okay, I think we stop here. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Because there is this book, so that's why we can share all this. Otherwise, it's not easy. Yeah. So this one, that time when I share it, was in the year 2018. Eh? Okay, page 21. Eh? So we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, eh? Then we end. Akka satta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo satu kalena sasa sampati hetu ce. Pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko ikmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nirvana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect, Triple Gem. Then we end. Thank you. Thank you.